This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48, Tuesday, December the 14th, and you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, recently, past President Tan Sri Abdul Hadi Awang has stressed that the relationship between his party and UMNO is still good, although they have been facing certain problems recently. Responding to questions by reporters during PAS's 70th anniversary celebration, Hadi dismissed talk that his ties with UMNO President Dato' Sri Dr. Ahmad Zahid Hamidi had grown cold.
Yeah, this comes after the Malacca polls, where UMNO came to power through Barisan Nasional, while PAS contested under the Barikatan National banner and lost. Many are questioning the Muafaka National Pact, which appears to be in limbo as PAS has taken Bersatu's side in its feud with UMNO. So what is the future of Muafaka National and PAS's relationship with UMNO?
For more on this, we have on the line with us Adib Zakalpi, director at the Bauer Group Asia. Good morning, Adib. Now, PAS leaders have dismissed the notion that the relationship between PAS and UMNO is cold, despite facing off each other in the recent Malacca elections. I mean, do you agree with this? Is it just a slight bump in their romance, or can we expect a major breakup soon?
Hi, thank you. Firstly, I think we have to accept the fact that the era of a strong permanent political coalition is over. Before the last general election, we had a strong government coalition, Barisan Nasional, as well as a united opposition under Pakatan Harapan. So those days are over. So there are no more permanent coalitions or rather no more strong pre-electoral coalitions. All political parties, including PAS, will, you know, continue to be in search of partners that can be useful in their pursuit for power. So I think that's the situation right now, and perhaps until the next generation, it will continue to be fluid.
So it reminds me a bit of Germany, right, where everybody contests separately and, you know, they all just fight on the polls, but then later they unite and form coalitions perhaps later. Maybe that's a sign of maturing. So, you know, in your view, what does this mean with respect to PAS's alliance with Bersatu? Why do you think they went for that?
In terms of its partnership with Bersatu, I think for PAS, the most logical partner out there is Bersatu. If you look at the strength of both parties, Bersatu is the smaller Malay party compared to PAS, compared to UMNO, of course. And Bersatu is also not a direct threat to PAS's dominance, especially in the East Coast states of Kelantan and Terengganu. So where Bersatu is more of a direct competitor to UMNO. So the PAS Bersatu partnership makes a lot of sense in their common objective of winning Malay votes in all parts of the peninsula, Malaysia.
And Adib, does this then mean that, you know, you could have PAS and Bersatu being a coalition partner in one state and then perhaps not being a coalition partner in another state, though?
Yes, that's possible. I think we've seen similar arrangements in the past, you know, with Sabah or Sarawak parties. I think it's going to be a new normal here where parties may work together to form certain state governments, you know, in certain states, but may be on the different ends of the political spectrum in other states due to, you know, similar competing interests.
But yesterday, PAS president was asked about, you know, his relationship with UMNO, and he said that his complaint about them breaching the Muafakat National Charter was not directed at the party as a whole, but at certain individuals. Do we have an idea who these individuals are?
Well, I think the reason, I mean, I think Hadi, as the PAS president, has to be careful in making such statements, because his priority is to keep the doors open. So he may have disagreements with certain individuals in UMNO, or rather groups within UMNO, but at the same time, he may be comfortable working with different groups of people within the party. So he's just being pragmatic in making that kind of statement.
But this is the big problem, isn't it, in our politics now? It's so fragmented. States can pan one way, federal can think differently. Agreements are done at a personal level. So what is the point of all this power then? Is it just for personality then? Because nothing is going to be anchored on clear policies, isn't it?
Yes, I think it will be up to the party leaders, you know, from PAS and other party and other parties as well, you know, in negotiating for you know, common policy objectives in case they form the government, you know, and we are witnessing it right now. UMNO, PAS and Bersatu, they are both, you know, in a situation where they have to reach a compromise to be in the federal government. So the situation will stay this way for quite some time.
And I'm just curious, does this mean that Muafakat does exist, or actually really it doesn't exist anymore?
Well, in practice, I mean, at the federal level, the federal government level, of course, it doesn't exist. It's more of a loose coalition between MPs from Barisan Nasional, from Perikatan Nasional, Bersatu and PAS. But if you look at on the ground, I mean, there are some parliamentary constituencies where grassroots leaders from PAS and UMNO are working together under the banner of Muafakat Nasional. So it's not dead yet, if that's your question. I mean, it's still around. And and I can see how the coalition, you know, will be revived in the future if necessary. You know, if both parties find that the way to return to federal power is through Muafakat Nasional, then it will be revived.
Can I get your view on PAS's strategy? You know, when it goes to GE15, what should its focus be? Should it just remain rural, focus on its religious roots, or how will it appeal to younger voters, urban voters? Is it going to do that, or is it just going to rely on its other coalition partners to drive that?
I think it will take this same. I mean, from Malacca election, we could see that PAS relied on its partners for urban West Coast seats. I think for the next general election, you will probably apply the same strategy. PAS will probably focus its resources in its traditional strongholds of Kelantan and Terengganu and parts of Kedah, and rely on its coalition partners in more urban areas. You know, so I think that's the sensible approach that we'll take, and try to maybe control, maintain the number of seats that it controls in the Dewan Raya.
So it doesn't have a shot in Sarawak, right? So what's the point of contesting there?
Well, it's I think PAS is, as you know, it's not just a political party; it's also a religious movement. So contesting even in seats that it cannot win shows its commitment to the ideology. You know, it makes their supporters happy.
And I'm curious, tell us about their supporters. You know, we have this image of them being slightly older, but, you know, are they able to recruit younger members? What's the profile like?
I would say it's a mix of young and old. You know, PAS, as you know, is also very active in public universities in Malaysia and as well as abroad. So they will not run out of young supporters, and this recruitment of young members is a constant activity in the party. So, yeah, their supporters are quite diverse in terms of age group.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Adib Salkalpi, director of the Bauer Group Asia, giving us his views on the relationship between PAS and UMNO, and a little bit of colour in terms of who UMNO members are and how they go how PAS recruits its members.
Yeah, I find it a very fascinating story because, you know, where we sit in this Bangsa bubble, or, you know, Klang Valley,
Tamantun bubble, beautiful sunrise.
It is. We always think like, oh, you know, the whole nation reflects our more liberal approach to things. But as evident, right, I think there are many parts of this country that still feel the importance of religion to drive our politics, and it's still a core element to them, and it's a very key part of their definition of identity as well. And that's not going to go away anytime soon.
No, which will make for very interesting politics in the next few months, especially since I think there is anticipation that GE15 will take place as soon as next year. So watch this space. We'll watch all the political parties very, very closely.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.